Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Greetings, listener dear! I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts with our special guest, Janine Haruni.
Oh, there you go. It's not a concise title, is it? Well, you know, when you hear it out loud, it doesn't trip off the tongue, does it?
It's more a sentence than a title.
Yeah, it's a paragraph in itself.
Someone asked me the other day about our podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So what's it like? What's the stuff that you do? And trying to concisely explain what it is sounded like I didn't know what we did.
Go on, talk us through it. What did you I imagine I'm your pal, your inquisitive pal, who 11 years down the line has decided to finally take an interest in the podcast you're doing.
Good way to do it, is there?
Tell
really?
Me about this podcast. So you do this podcast, that's interesting. How does it work? What's it all about?
It's sort of a game show, panel show type thing, that isn't most of it. That's like one of the things we do, but that's right. That's the main one is that one, but that isn't the most one that we do. Like most of the time, it's just us chatting, but not. Then we have guests, so we chat with guests. We have guests in the panel show,
right?
And but like basically every week we try and do like a different thing. So sometimes we are just talking, sometimes we're reading our emails, sometimes it's this like I said, like this like panel show. And then we also do like this, like for just our like members, we do like another one where again we are just chatting or reading our emails actually, but without a guest. It's kind of like we've been doing it for like 11 years.
Sorry, like, can I just ask what is a podcast? Son,
were they still there by the end of the sentence?
I mean, I didn't feel like I was there by the end of the sentence. kind of came to on the tube. Oh, bloody hell. Yeah. I got my way home.
Did you just stand up and started making an announcement about it?
You were wearing one of your sandwich boards.
There's no clean way to do it, really.
No, there isn't. And so that's why we thank our listeners for joining us. Every episode, we're delighted that we still have listeners because it's a confusing thing you're entering into. It's a confusing contract that you, the listener, dear, and us have embarked upon. We can't explain it. You can't explain it. We've had emails telling people, you know, from listeners saying, I tried to explain it to my friends. I can't explain what it is.
Well, that's it. That's what I was going to get to. Like, we ask listeners to, you know, if you enjoy it, tell your friends. God, that's a hospital pass. We can't ask people to do that anymore because I just tried it and it's fucking solid.
I'd say if you are going to, like, what you want to do is just book an Airbnb, have a long weekend, bring a group of friends together and then spend over the course of the weekend and explain.
Make sure you have, like, a flip chart.
Have some graphs prepared.
Yeah.
If it helps, one of us will show up and help you out with it. I don't know.
We could turn that into a podcast, in fact.
Not me. I've given it a fair stab, but I failed miserably.
We should mention the Patreon, of course.
Yes.
So, yeah, if you... if you, like us, don't know what this is but want more of it, then then join our Patreon. Patreon.com/... Pappy's Flatshare. By the way, it's great to be back on the intros so I can actually explain what the Patreon is and where to find it. I was listening to the last episode and you were like, oh, I don't know, just type Pappy's into Google. And I was screaming at my phone. By the screaming at my phone, I meant I called Tom. screaming at him down the phone. but yeah, patreon.com patreon.com/pappy's flat share. It should be in the show notes as well if you want to get to the Patreon.
Yeah, it's really worth it as well, because there's actually a couple of extra formats that are only on the Patreon. And if I could just briefly take you through those.
Yeah, this entire episode is a weekend long, and it's just Clarky trying to explain what the flat share lockdown is. Don't worry, guys, if anyone's really getting into flat share lockdown, we are going to change the name soon, just to stop any real fan base developing. That's the plan. We're changing the name of that as well.
You've got to really take the momentum out of things. That's what we've learned over time.
So welcome to this Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. We had a very nice chat with Janine, who is, if you've not seen her before, she's a fantastic stand-up. She's a brilliant actor, performer. She's just great. We had real 100%. Fun. Real fun chatting to her and solving your beefs. If you have a beef you'd like us to solve, please do get in touch, because we're going to be recording some of these very, very soon, and we need some new beefs for the upcoming episodes. So it's beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. Send us your beefs today.
Or, you know, just go to Google, type in Pappy's and press send.
click send on Google.
Yeah. Well, enjoy the episode, and we'll see you on the other side for more describing.
Well, if you've got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you've got a problem, call it a beef. If you've got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Janine, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's a total pleasure. Now, you said you're alone in the house. But what's your normal setup? What's your normal flatmate setup?
I live with my husband.
You live with your husband.
And very traditional.
What exactly? God's happy with that setup.
As my father arranged, yes. Yeah. I have become the property of Andrew Nolan.
Well, congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
What are you like to live with? What's he like to live with?
I'm a dream, and I cause no problems at all, and he's a nightmare.
Okay, talk us through it. Talk us through it.
I think I'm a pretty easygoing person to live with, and Andrew leaves the stovetop on overnight on a regular basis.
Oh, no. Oh man.
Yeah, he did it last night.
When you walk into the kitchen and it's baking, is that what, like, that's the thing, isn't it? Because it just heats up the entire kitchen. It just means that you're walking into, like, a sauna.
Mm-hmm.
And when you accost him about this, what does he say? What's his
first of all,
defense?
I don't accost him. We're in couples therapy. I present him. I present him with my problem, because any problem you have is your problem, according to Linda, our therapist.
Okay, this is great.
I mean,
this
it's also so the problem. It, I mean, like, it is objectively a problem as well if you're leaving the stove.
Oh no! Like, the police are going after him if this shit burns down. But like, according to Linda, it's my problem.
Oh my god, that would drive me fucking insane.
You know what? I like it. You see, I think that would work very well for me, because I'm renowned for leaving the oven on.
Are you? Do you have a gas or an electric hob? That's the question. Because
flames.
It's
gas.
Flames. So it's flames on all right.
Raw flames.
That's raw. Yeah.
Raw flames.
Flamage. Yeah.
So the thing is, you'd think you would see it or smell it or even hear it, because lots of the senses are lit up here with this oven. And yet, no.
are you out at this point, though?
Yeah, no, or I trust him enough to think he can heat up soup.
There's your first mistake, you see. Again, I'm with your therapist. That's on you.
He is cooking for you then, is he? Is that?
Oh,
is
no,
that...
no. This was soup for himself. He had a bad gig, and he thought, I'm going to have some warm soup. And he thought he fucked up.
Do you think his subconscious was going, the gig was so bad, I'm going to burn the house down?
I think it's possible.
Do you think that's like, there was part, it was an element of self-sabotage there, that he thought,
if you can't bring the house down at a gig, you've got to do it at home.
Burn it down, yeah.
I have had gigs like that, so I feel for him. I can't blame him for that.
Yeah, the kind of gigs where only soup will do, and only destroying the house will do.
Did you have to factor in the fact he'd had a bad gig with how you addressed the fact that he'd left the stove on? Did you soften the blow?
Yeah, and also he's up in Manchester right now doing Beat the Frog, and it was like, you know, a 4-hour train to get up there. He's having to stay overnight and then take the train back down. So I was just like, maybe there's some sort of a device we could buy that would alert us to the fact that the stove is on, you know, like your head.
You know. So he's turning the stove on and he's fucking off to Manchester. And when are you discovering this?
You know, if I wasn't here, it would be days later. Today, it was hours later. And the dogs were here.
The poor little doggies were there as well.
Yeah.
Do you think he was trying to murder either you or the dogs?
I mean, he would never murder the dogs. Me, in a heartbeat. If he could get away with it, oh my God.
Do we know for a fact the dogs didn't leave the gas on?
They're so small. They couldn't. They're
working
smart
together
on each other's shoulders.
Team. Working as a team. Yeah.
There's two of them.
Yeah. Yeah. There would be a trench coat scenario. If they teamed up, they would be. Good boy. Look at this.
Well, I mean, obviously the listeners can't, but it's a very cute dog.
listen to this.
Listen to this dog here. We'll just give a couple of seconds now to have a bit of wild dog audio if we can.
Yeah. And just for the listeners to imagine a dog. There you go.
Oh, that's very cute.
That's a dog there, guys. That is a dog. There is no doubting it. And they're not even, we should say, because you told us this before we started recording, not even your dogs. Your husband has such a trustworthy face that someone found him through Facebook and said, oh, why don't you look after, you know, not a friend, but somebody who sort of knew him, why don't you look after the dogs? And yeah, he's got a trustworthy face, but we know from just the tiny bit of evidence you've given us, possibly the least trustworthy person living in the country.
Yeah,
he's an arsonist. Did you say this to people who wanted to loan you the dogs? Did you say, look,
we've stolen the dogs. Like, we're not getting these dogs back. Look at this face. Come on.
It's adorable. I mean, we still can't see that face.
Imagine his face. Just listen to that dog's face, if you will.
Listen to that dog's face. From the sorting out your beef. Right, shall we crack on with doing some of our listeners' beefs? Let's, we can't solve the pan, the hob even. So let's crack on with some listeners' beefs.
I thought that was you referring to the pandemic then. We can't solve the pan, guys, but we can solve some of your beefs.
If anybody is listening to this hoping that that's what we're about to do, sort this bloody mess out, then I'm afraid you're going to be sorely disappointed. No, we can
also, just to call it the pan. Like, the pan. Just say, the pan.
I don't mind that, actually.
I quite like it.
How are you handling the pan?
How's the pan treating you, man? The big pan? You remember the big pan of 2021?
The Pando Jando.
We're all living in the Pando Jando, yeah. Well, I mean, have you got any solutions, Janine, that you want to sort of throw out there that you think might be, might solve this whole thing once and for all?
The pandemic?
Yeah, yeah. It seems a fair question.
Let's give it a try. Because you know what? I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about how to solve it.
That's true, actually. We haven't really put our full intellectual weight behind it, and I'm sure.
And if there's one thing the pandemic taught us, is that we're all sharing a flat, and that flat is this earth.
Oh my god.
That's lovely, actually.
Are you a flat earther?
Flat earth. Yes, this is what I'm talking about. Finally, somebody speaking our language. Yes.
Oh, flat earth slam down. Yes, please.
Have the flat earthers gone a bit quiet recently?
Because surely like they've all just segued into anti-vaxxers, right?
Yeah, it feels
surely.
Like
this. I bet the Venn diagram there is healthy. Let's just say that
it's not. It's just one circle.
they've just made new signs, haven't they? They've just made new signs and headed out. And once the anti-vax thing's over, flat earth will be back in the mix.
Tom, I really like the idea of someone walking down the street with a placard with "the earth is flat" crossed out, and they're just like, no vaccines, no masks, just written underneath there. Yeah. Like, it's there.
They've only got the one. They've got the one placard.
Well, let's find out if our first beef is from a flat earther. Janine, do you want to do yours first?
I know, Toby.
Bill
soon.
Okay. Toby, not a fan. Famously, not it. Has he joined the Patreon, Toby, or
flat earther?
Okay. Okay, here we go. So this is from someone called Day. I'm already suspicious. Right. Hello, okay. Dear sound emitters. Is that normal of your fans?
No, that's Day's choice there, that one.
Okay. Right. Hello, my dear sound emitters. I only joined the Patreon a few weeks ago, so I'm still catching up on the beyond generous amount of lockdown content. I only wish I'd joined earlier so I could have joined in the fun from day one. This sounds like you guys wrote this.
I adopted a few of these because people weren't being nice about the Patreon. So every message starts with a little thing I've written myself.
So
but
awesome.
We'll cut out the bit where I confess to this. But yeah, I've written the first paragraph of all of the emails we're reading out on this episode because not enough people are bigging up the Patreon. Basically, by the way, I've not read on. I don't know what this beef is. But if you say good things about the Patreon in the first paragraph, you're guaranteed to be on the pod. That's the way it works.
Okay.
Anyway, please. So, by the way, I think every choice has been fantastic so far. Sound emitters, great. Joining the Patreon, great. Saying nice things about it, even greater. Janine.
All right. I'll carry on. So I'm not sure if you've dealt with a beef of mine before. So didn't join the Patreon, but has sent you an email about a beef they had. Okay. So I'm not sure if you've dealt with a beef of mine before. It would have been, should my spouse let me stay in my house while her girlfriend is visiting?
Yeah, we've definitely dealt with that one. We've dealt with that one, but this is another good beef. Let's just say Day has an interesting life.
I'm so confused. What does Day mean?
So Day is in an open relationship. His wife has a girlfriend. She will often come over to stay. Day wants to stay in the house while they're there. They obviously don't want him to be there. They want him to go out. But he's like, oh, you know, I'll keep myself to myself. I don't mind. Doesn't bother me. This was the problem Day found himself in last time around.
It was a good problem.
It's a good problem. Is it a good problem to have? that's not what we mean. But yeah, listen, it's very modern. Our listeners are very modern, Jenny. You've got to understand this.
I have never, ever heard someone refer to their wife as their spouse, unless they're like, Day sounds like an alien pretending to be a human being.
Was it Dear Sound Emitters that gave it away?
It was the fact that they liked our podcast. Our Patreon.
It's the opposite of AI. It's artificial stupidity. It's somebody who's faking being a podcast fan.
I'll carry on. When Carrie and I first moved in together in 2011, we made an agreement that if we got any pets, I would do most of the work. But because I am a bit phobic of poo, wee, vomit, and the like, no one likes that stuff.
Well, you know, we don't kink
shame. Our listeners
here
are very modern, okay? Our listeners are very modern.
If our listeners like to roll around in dog shit, then it makes a lot of sense why they're listening to this podcast.
The audio equivalent.
Rolling around in your pet's muck. We should call this the litter tray. That's what this should be.
Okay, so Day is phobic of poo, wee, vomit, and the like. I think that's the trifecta. I don't know what else there could be.
That's the holy trinity.
I would say as well, like, looking after a pet,
jizz.
A big bit of that is, yeah.
We were all thinking it, Tom.
I think looking after a pet is mostly wee and poo and vomit and other fluids, right? Isn't it? What
other fluids?
Well, in my cat's case, eye gunk.
Oh, yeah.
The eye gunk, so yeah. So, you know, a lot of it is going to be, you know, it's like looking after a baby. I don't know if you can go like, I'll look after the pet, except I won't do any of the poo, wee, vomit stuff. Because what are you doing? What are you doing? You're just stroking the pet then. You're putting out some food and you're doing all the fun stuff, and you're giving your partner all of the crap stuff to do.
I think that you can't do that with a pet, but you can do that with a baby. If you're the one who carried the baby, like, so I'm in a straight relationship. If and when I have a child, I'm not ever changing a diaper. I'm not cleaning up any vomit. I grew this thing inside of me and couldn't drink for over a year. Yeah, I don't know how long the baby's take to be born. I don't know. I've done research.
It's a little over a year. Yeah, yeah.
About
18 months if you're growing twins. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing any of the nasty stuff. It's literally shitting inside me, I think. Again, I haven't done any of the research. So there's no way
I think you need to read a book, Janine, first before you do any.
But also, as well, like you know what? It seems gross when you get when you first get a baby. You think, oh, this is going to be a tricky bit, all of the poo and the vomit. And after a while, you just don't even think about it. It stops being gross. Like I don't, you know, if I saw a nappy full of poo in the street, I'd find it absolutely disgusting. But I deal with them every single day, and I don't retch, I don't think about it. It's totally fine. There's something about it that's just...
Because it's your baby.
Yeah.
It's a bit like with yourself, though, surely. Like, I don't...
Exactly. They're a bit
deal with yourself, and it's fine.
I was working away from home for about 2 months, and before I went, we've got a... Well, she was 9-month-old daughter at the time, and I said to Jane, I said, look, I'll change one last nappy before I have to get in the car in about 20 minutes. I have to change one last nappy. It's the least I can do. So I went upstairs and I just, on a gut feeling, assumed she hadn't pooed. You know, like you get a vibe, you kind of go like this. And so I thought, I'll do it on the bed. It's always more fun to do it on the bed than on the changing table. Whopped it out. Turned out it was a big poo. Panicked. Tried to get to the nappy table. Pooed again. I got to the nappy table. Changed the nappy. Took her downstairs. Got ready to leave. And it was only then that Jane realised that I had trod in the poo that she'd done on the carpet. No. Had poo on my feet, and then walked poo all the way through the house.
Oh,
and
then
I had to leave.
How long were you leaving for?
Well, that time it was 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's still not...
It was supposed to be a day, but it ended up being 2 weeks.
That's still... 2 weeks is not long enough to deal with that kind of carnage. Like, I just...
Yeah.
Oh, man. So was Jane left... Yeah. A, literally holding the baby, and B, having to deal with the... Or did you manage to get it up before you went?
No.
That's quite a perfect question, isn't it?
I mean, come on, mate. I just tried to put around the house. No mood for that kind of stuff.
Oh, no, I've been caught brown-footed.
It's not what I'm into, mate, all right?
You're not one of our listeners.
I'm not going to kink shame, but it's not what I'm into. Right, sorry, let's get back to Dave's problem, because we don't know yet what the problem actually is. There might be a twist in the tail.
Sorry, Janine, we keep interrupting.
So it says, I would do most of the work, but because I'm a bit phobic of poo, wee, vomit, and the like, she would always deal with any of those kinds of messes for me. Sadly, though, Carrie has had to live away from home for work since July 2020. I'm sorry. I think that Carrie broke up with you.
Oh, no.
She works... Hush, Toby.
Shh. Toby agrees.
She works in respiratory medicine for the NHS, so it's been a busy time. Why? Has something been going on?
I've not heard of anything.
Welcome to PanPod.
So she's had to live away from home because she works for the NHS?
I don't know if these... Yeah. I'm not sure all of these... Like, I've got a girlfriend. She's going to be coming over. Hang on. You can get out the house. I work for the NHS, so I can't live in the house with you. Yeah, I think
this
you might be right.
Let's hear this guy out.
We've got to give.
All right, okay.
We've got to give the benefit of the doubt.
We've got to give Dave.
It starts with, I'm loving the Patreon, and then it's like...
He's opening up his heart.
Fuck you, man. Your wife's cheating on you.
By the way, there's no way that... I'll check the Patreon tomorrow, and he'll have left. He'll be gone.
All right. Sorry, it's worth it, though, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. All right. How much are you charging for your Patreon? No. Okay. All right. Let's go. It's been tough in lockdown. Oh, this is making me feel terrible now. It's been tough in lockdown since I've never lived alone before.
Oh.
But luckily for me, she's been able to make monthly visits back. She does not.
Where she brings a big box every time she comes back.
Guys, loads of cheating on him.
Guys, a load of stuff.
Stop it,
guys.
Stop it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I've come to deal with the necessity of cleaning up after most of the pets: 3 cats and 1 dog. However, we can't decide between us whose job it is to clean out the vivarium for the snake. What?
Oh my god.
He went all in on the pets.
Yeah.
What is this? Is a zookeeper?
It is like we bought a zoo, isn't it? It's like this is in the... So they moved in together 10 years ago, and they've managed to basically get a small petting zoo. Three cats, one dog, and a snake.
You could just release them all and then just kind of battle royale. Yeah, and then you'll have less pets to deal with.
You'll have a very full snake.
Well, I don't know, man, a cat. Cat versus snake, tough.
No, because there's all those videos of, like, cats are really, really scared of snakes, aren't they? Because if you put a cucumber next to a cat, they leap out of their skin. They literally jump up when they see a cucumber because they think it's a snake.
Yes, but they're very adept. I don't know if you've ever seen the Jackie Chan film Snake in the Eagle's Shadow.
I don't remember it,
no. Okay, well, you know, a bit of research.
What happens in it? Or are you not going to tell us?
No.
I hope you're like, I don't know, I've never seen it. I was hoping
there's someone who's good at the snake style, and he sees a cat beat a snake and develops his own cat style to beat the guy.
That's not a documentary, though.
That is factual.
All right, back to Day's message.
Okay. I think it should be her, since I have fed and watered the snake. This isn't a snake, it's a cactus. Watered the snake.
The snake goes straight up out of some sand.
This can't be real. Is this real?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, God. The snake is called May, by the way.
Okay.
Oh. Or the last time he watered the snake was May. It's unclear.
I hope the snake's called May, because it's a while ago.
It says, I think it should be her since I fed and watered the snake, brackets, May, in the meantime. And the poo clause, okay, so he's put this in a contract, suggests to me that this is fair. But she thinks her brief monthly visit should be used in more enjoyable ways. It's not written, but brackets, yeah, sexual.
Yeah, I think you absolutely read that in the right way, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It says at the end, thank you, as one word, for all the good times, Day.
Right.
Thank you, Day.
That honestly sounds like the ending of a suicide note.
So the basic thing is, he gets to see his partner once a month, one evening, one day, whatever, out of every 31 days, and she would like to have sex. He would like her to muck out the snake, which is, by the way, what I call having sex. So
yeah.
I feel like there's something. Surely just deal with it, right? Day, right? Would that not be the... Just deal with the snake and then enjoy some fun.
So you're letting this snake shit pile up for a month until your girlfriend gets back.
How much does a snake...
Is she really...
That was going to be my next question. How much does a snake poo? The length?
I want to Google it.
Do the length?
Yeah, Google how much a snake poos, because I feel like...
We don't poo our own length.
Oh,
that's a very good point, actually, Barrett. Well,
I don't know how many animals poo their own length.
Could you also Google that? Fresh tab.
I've seen some goldfish poo their own length.
That's
certainly
true,
seen
actually,
that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But they can't
remember it by the time they're finished. What's that coming out of my arse?
What are you finding here, Janine, in your...
Snake poo, it's like nothing. It looks like bird poo. It's sort of a kind of...
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like bird shit.
A muck.
Guam, or whatever it's called. It's like, yeah. Well, look, it's quite clear here, isn't it, right? He's got to clean out...
His wife's fighting
the panda.
Sorry, Tom, what noise did you make before you started talking there? You went, whoop, it's quite clear. It was mad.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah.
It's like your coiled spring.
It's quite clear here, right? She's off fighting the pan.
Yeah.
He's got to clean out the snake, and then they have fun conjugal times.
Yeah. I think it's a small price to pay for a month's worth.
And when, you know...
Oh, an absolute month's worth.
When you're cleaning out the snake, you just need to go to your happy place and think of the good times it's buying you.
Yeah.
It's my equivalent of loading the dishwasher, put it that way. Like, I know if I load the dishwasher... It's going to be better come bedtime for us to go to bed together and have fun times. So it's like, as you're doing the dishwasher, you say to yourself...
Are you talking about you and your wife or you and the dishwasher?
Oh, when you say loading the dishwasher?
I should say, we've got staff, yeah. No.
If I get the dishwasher drunk enough, you know, they'll have their wicked way.
It's got to be worth it, right? Especially during the pan.
Yeah. I just Googled it. Snakes poo 1 to 2 times a week. So we're having 15 to 30 poops in this vivarium. And he's just leaving it? This guy's fucked up.
Yeah. It is. I think your maths might be a little off there if it's once or twice a week, but still. Yeah. It's still, you know what? It's still a lot, right? It's still more than, you know, once a month.
Yeah. It's 4 to 8 poos. Yeah.
But you know what? I would say even 15 to 30 poos would still be enough to clean up to, you know, like, I think whatever amount it is, just to be doing a good thing for your partner, right? I think the maintenance of the house, while you are basically the sole occupant, should be your job, right?
And then snakes only poo twice a week.
What?
Is that right?
Well, it said 3 to 7 days it poos. So, you know, 16 times a day. If I'm doing the math right. Like I am, guys.
What's wrong with
they don't do a lot of eating days. Though either, do they? I don't think snakes.
Yeah, they eat like a mouse low. A week, don't they?
Yeah.
Guys.
So I'd barely poo if I ate just a mouse a week. But I'd make sure it was the length of my body when I
Tom, you seem absolutely stunned by this news.
It makes sense now why snakes are often cast as the villain. It feels like you can't trust something that doesn't poo daily. Do you know what I mean?
I think I was talking to Wozniak about this before, how many times, because I know there are people who do it like once a week, or the people who do it like once every week and a half. That's apparently totally medically normal. Anything I think between like once
is a Wozniak your doctor?
Well, he's the guy I know who is a doctor.
This sounds like you're very insecure about how often you poo.
You know what?
It's totally normal.
It's totally normal to poo 15 to 30 times a day. I've got a snake's metabolism, Janine. That's what you've got to understand about me. Actually, give me a second. I'm just got to go and shed my skin. But no, we were talking about somebody else who we found out only pooed once a week. And I said, is that normal? He said, yeah, totally normal. Anything from about sort of 5 or 6 times a day to... once a fortnight is totally fine.
Once a fortnight,
yeah.
That's what you're more surprised.
I knew there was a big differential. I didn't know it was quite that big.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What are you getting done in your time if you're pooping 5 or 6 times a day? Like,
no, but imagine
what
how
job are you managing to hold down?
Imagine how productive you'd be if you pooped once a fortnight. It'd be like have taken the limitless pill. It'd be amazing. All of the extra time you've got.
Wow. That's what they scheme. They scheme. That's what the snakes do. With all their non-pooing time, they scheme. That's why they're the villains.
Do you think that's
the time for it?
There's going to be like a... They're going to finally kind of figure out that all the billionaires in the world are the people who just poo once
shitless.
A fortnight.
Yeah. I tell you what, just thinking about it, because cows shit a lot, don't they? So I wouldn't be surprised if there was some kind of chart with intelligence to the amount that you shit.
How often do dolphins shit? Because they're all seen as intelligent.
I've never seen a dolphin shit.
Exactly.
I've never seen a dolphin
I like
shit.
The way, Janine, you very happily become sort of like the intern for the show.
Shitting with dolphins, by the way, it's on my list of things to do before I die. It's harder to book the trips, you know, when you get to New Zealand and stuff, but it's like, you know, I do want to go and shit with dolphins, if that's
also,
all right.
You're scared of water, so you're trying to get the dolphin, coax it onto the land to use a human toilet with you.
Into a public toilet.
Guys, I'm going to ruin your dreams. Dolphins shit through their skin.
Oh, no. Oh my god!
That's what it says here.
So all those people cuddling and kissing dolphins—they
lose their water and their feces through their skin.
Man, this is disgusting.
It really makes me feel bad about that cruise where I pet dolphins, just milking the shit out of them.
They must really enjoy, like, all the humans taking pictures of them as they're stroking their shit away.
That's why they're always smiling. They're loving it. You don't realise I'm shitting right
now. They're always
right
laughing, like, these fucking idiots.
You know, stingrays, I know that they pee through their skin because my husband is allergic to sharks and stingrays. And
on most people.
Sorry, hang on. What?
Really? Allergic?
Well, like, I mean,
he's allergic to sharks.
Yeah. So we went to the aquarium on one of our first dates, and we walked into this room, and he started going. He was like, "This is it's really." He just kept making this crazy sound with his throat, and he went, "Was there sharks
in here?"
And
you thought he's a keeper.
There was an open at the London Aquarium. There's like a petting zoo area where you can pet stingrays.
Yeah, yeah.
The minute he walked in, he couldn't breathe.
Oh, wow.
He's allergic to the ammonium that they piss out of their skin.
So, like, in the same way that people, like, if they can't be in a room with cats or dogs, he gets it with stingrays. How do you find that out?
His dad works in the fishing business.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
He made him, like, hold a shark. And Andrew's like, "I don't feel great, Dad." And he's like, "Well, man up, you know." And anaphylactic shock.
Oh, my God.
Anaphylactic shark.
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, lovely stuff.
Hey. Lovely stuff from the new computer.
Right. Well, so what are we saying? I mean, basically what we're saying here is, Dave,
it's an open and closed shut beef case, isn't
it? We haven't had one for a while, but this is, you've got to just listen. If
clean out the tank, mate.
If it's happening every 3 days.
She's spending her whole month having sex with that other woman, and she's coming home. She doesn't want to clean out your vivarium.
Also, she works in the NHS. You don't want her get, you know, you don't want the trace of snake shit under the fingernails that then goes into a hospital and starts pandemic number two. We don't need that, all right? You've got to do it. Pop on your rubber gloves and get in that vivarium and muck out. Beef solved.
And also, watch out for that dolphin in the pond, because don't let your wife near that, mate. Not after what we've learned.
From the sorting out your beef.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Silence by My Friends. Beef from Brian. BeefBrothersPodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, it's Bryn.
Is it Bryn? I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Bryn, sorry.
There's no A in it, so it's Bryn.
That'll be the one. Dear Beef Bros, long-time listener, etc. I love your pod. I really enjoy the Patreon. It's such good value.
Yes, this
lots
is all
of
good
love,
stuff.
Matthew.
Thank you,
oh,
Bryn.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Bryn says, long-time listener, etc. I'm currently house sharing with two of my closest friends, whom I love deeply. We get on. Great. All share household tasks and get on well. Get on's in there twice, so clearly.
Well, they're getting on.
The problem only arises when we have guests. My two pals are more gregarious than me and usually have more to say. I wonder what that feels like.
Okay.
This leads to me sitting in the sidelines, even though I think I quite often have more to say. Sorry.
You've cut him off, Mitch.
Sorry.
You got lost in thought there. Can you stick to reading out the email, mate? Enough of your own problems.
I tell you what I did. I read to the end of the line and just started reading the same line from the start again.
Oh, right.
This leads to me sitting on the sidelines, even though I think I quite often have funny, relevant, and interesting comments to make. They bulldoze me. And it's really starting to hurt. No. If this goes on much longer, I feel like I might lose it. While I might be a quiet man, I am capable of killing again if I'm pushed. Anyways, I really love all you three. Bye, Bryn.
Oh, I love Bryn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really zoned out halfway through there. Sorry, I just stopped listening. What was it saying?
How are you in your friendship groups, Janine? Are you you're often just off to one side Googling facts, aren't you?
Very useful in a pub quiz.
I know this feeling because sometimes in comedians' green rooms, it's just your bulldozed. I've had a little bit of wine.
That's
you're
okay.
Bulldozed by all these huge personalities, and I don't feel like I have a big personality. And so you end up just being really quiet. And Bryn, I feel you.
The thing about that, though, is that you know that in a moment you're going to get to be on stage speaking for half an hour into a microphone where everyone has to listen. Bryn doesn't have that outlet.
But he can become a stand-up comedian.
Please, let's not be the advice that we're going to give to Bryn. Please, start a podcast, Bryn.
It'll make you really happy, we promise.
$10,000 a year in 6 years' time.
If things go really well. What's the advice? Because, go on, Tom.
My advice, my knee-jerk reaction is, I don't think this is a problem. And I know it might feel like a problem for you, but I don't think it is. Like, I think there are different types of people in any party, and everyone knows that the people who are loud and talking all the time aren't necessarily the interesting ones. And the interesting ones are often the people who aren't necessarily dominating conversation.
Still waters run deep.
They're the interesting people. They're the ones. So you've still got loads to offer, even though it might feel like you're not getting it in. So I wouldn't panic about this. I'd say the right kind of people are going to find you in those situations, and you will get to communicate with the people who it's worth communicating with.
I agree with you, but I feel like in this instance, he's talking about when the three of them are together. Like, is that not what he's talking about? I know he says we get on well, but he does say, like, the my two pals are more gregarious than me and usually have more to say. It's easy to be sitting on the sidelines, even though I think I often have quite funny, relevant, interesting comments to make. He doesn't mention
when they have guests.
Like, about other guests. He's just...
But he said when we have people over.
Oh, shit. Sorry, in which case, then, ignore everything I've said.
You weren't even listening to him in his email, Matthew.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Bryn.
No, but I do think that...
Sorry, Ben, I think this is... We've solved it now, mate, and really well, actually. We solved it very well.
But it will make you stop wanting to hang around with those two people, which is a real shame if you do get on. I think it's worth chatting to them about, because I think that maybe they just don't know.
Oh, and I don't know, mate. How's that conversation going to go?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
Be honest.
With Tom.
If someone sits down and goes, mate, when we're hanging around, can you let me speak a bit more? So I'm really funny too. You like go, oh, God. Okay, mate. I mean, it's not going to go well, that chat, is it? It's going to be really
awkward. If someone said it to me, I'd take it on board.
Yeah, but Ben, you're Bryn in this situation.
Yeah, how are you spelling that, Bryn, by the way?
No, like, you can't talk about it.
How's that conversation playing out? It's not like they're doing a podcast. If they were doing a podcast, you can have that conversation. this is real life. Exactly. In the podcast, you can go, look, guys, I'm not getting a chance to get stuff away in the pod. I've got things to say. So maybe starting a podcast is the best solution, actually. Because then you can have this conversation. But, like, in real life, to say it, that's... Yeah.
Listen, I know what he should do. He's just got to, Bryn, you just got to talk in a whisper the whole time. Anytime you have to say anything, just talk really quietly like this so everyone has to suddenly pay attention. And you'll bring the attention to you.
And also you'll give people ASMR. That's the other great thing as well. So people will be wanting to listen to you so they can get the special little tingles they get up the back of their neck. It's not a bad...
I don't know.
I think it's...
And you'll put at least one of them to sleep, so then that's 50% of the problem out of the way. Great.
There are a few people who I really like, but who talk too quietly, and it's really affected my relationship with them.
Because name them.
There's only so much there's only so much straining you can do to hear someone. And, you know, as you're listening to someone who's a quiet talker, your brain starts to be like, oh, my God, they're so quiet. And you're so busy thinking about how quiet they are that you've not really listened to what they've been saying. It's really hard when people are really quiet.
Okay. You don't live with someone named Bryn, do you?
I live with some bloke. I keep forgetting his name. I don't know. He's always there, though.
I've got it, though. And this might be an unpopular idea, but I'm going to put it out there anyway, because it might be, you know, it seems like desperate times for Bryn, call for desperate measures. Get a party piece.
I was going to say get a catchphrase.
I think catchphrase is good. Party piece is good.
It's the catchphrase, can I talk, please?
The catchphrase is putting your hand up. Yeah, I think I think something like learning some card tricks, or, you know, or
an affectation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Hat. Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys, you're suggesting learn a card trick over have an honest conversation with your friends.
Yeah.
Hang on. Learn a card trick and buy a top hat. We're saying become a magician.
Become a magician, yeah.
Okay, so Bryn's options are become a stand-up comedian, start a podcast, or become a magician.
I think we may have lost touch with society.
I think there is a fourth option. Have you guys read Lord of the Flies? Get a conch shell. Get a conch.
Get a conch and a pig's head on a stick. And
leave a pig's head on a stick in the front room and write in blood on the wall. Listen to Bryn, motherfuckers.
And I really feel for you. And you know what? Fuck those people. Just move out. Find, you know, you don't get on well with them.
Yeah. I'd say don't take yourself out of competition with them, and be, you know, it's not always good to be one of those loud voices. I think it's much better for you not to be.
Yeah, you don't have to be a loud voice. Just buy some stilts. And make that your thing. Walking around the house doing a bit of juggling with your stilts. You know. Learn poi. Oh, learn the Diablo.
Get a unicycle. Grow a handlebar mustache. Get a unicycle. One of those hats that has a little fan on the top. Yeah.
You know, any kind of, like become a steampunk, any of these things that can make you, to give you an interesting kind of angle,
that people
are drawn to you, or leave you well alone.
Slowly begin talking in an accent. Just feed it in little by little.
Yeah.
Until a week or two goes by and suddenly you're Australian.
Yeah, exactly.
Until a week or two goes by
and someone thinks, why is Gwyn talking like one of the Dolmio puppets?
Bryn!
Yeah. Oh, it's Bryn. Sorry, not even Glyn.
You're coming.
I think the problem is with Bryn, he's a forgettable dude. Right?
Oh, my God.
I can't remember his name. I can't remember anything he said in this
email. What he said in the email.
Is this podcast that you just ask people to pay you money so that they can write in about their problems and then you abuse them about it?
That's what it's become.
The way it's playing out.
It started as genuinely we wanted to help people, but when we realised we had no good advice, we just turned on them. It's turn on each other or turn on them. And turning on each other would involve having an honest conversation. And I don't know if you know, but I've just learned how to juggle. So watch this three ball.
Everybody likes a harmonica. Get a harmonica.
So far we've got have an honest conversation. Just be happy with who you are and don't feel like you have to compete.
No.
Become a magician or start a podcast / become a comedian.
Yeah.
There are four options.
Well, he's certainly given a lot of options. Final one, air horn.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really good.
That's good actually, because it's kind of like an affectation anyway. You know, he's the guy who carries the air horn around. But every time you fire it off, people are going to... Although, actually, imagine if... I get the feeling that Bryn's the kind of guy who could play an air horn and people just carry on talking and wouldn't even flinch. I just get the feeling that they wouldn't even notice. Is that fair to say?
No, that is not fair
to say.
Okay,
sorry. I apologise to Bryn. I apologise. You do seem like a nice guy. But whatever you do, don't ever be honest.
Are we confident that Bryn is a boy's name?
We're not, I mean, not now, now that you've said that.
Whoever you are.
Good luck to you, Bryn, whoever you are.
Yeah, good luck to you, Bryn. Please don't kill.
There is what about take up increasingly defiant stances?
Yes, yes.
Like disagree with whatever they say. And then don't
I thought you
ever
meant literally
back down.
Stand with your hands on your hips. I thought that's...
Handstand. you're again, you're thinking very visual, you're thinking circus. And I like that. I mean, yeah. I don't think that's a bad decision.
I've just watched the DVD of Misty Air again. So, you know, that's the thing. I've got all those, you know... Yeah.
Tightrope walk across the room.
Spray yourself green and do a backflip.
And then disagree with what they're saying.
I went on honeymoon to Atlantic City in New Jersey, which is basically like, I don't know, shit Las Vegas. Like, it's, you know, it's terrible. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to offend a country, but it's like Blackpool. So we went there. We went there for three
Blackpool's
days and we
country.
Went to a circus. I don't want to offend this country. We went to a circus and the people were so bad at being in the circus that it was the most captivating thing I've ever seen because there was real danger. We were like, they might die. Like these trapeze artists are barely catching each other's hands. It was unbelievable. And it was a children's show because we went at 3 p.m. And there were all these kids who just, you know, have no concept of their own mortality. So they were just like, wow. And me and Andrew were there like near tears watching these people. So just join the circus, Bryn.
That's our conclusion. Join the circus.
We've given so much advice on this one, and I think that it's all bad.
It's all bad advice. I'm just imagining a tribunal years down the line where the other trapeze artist just goes, I just forgot to catch him. He's just that kind of guy. I knew I was supposed to do something. I reached out my hands. I knew I was supposed to.
I thought it was a one-man act for a while.
Bryn,
so
Bryn, I know somebody who's got, month by month, a free place. He's got a lot of pets, you know, so if you want to move in there, you'd be happy. Just move in with Day.
Move in with Day, and how do you feel about poo, wee, vomit, etc.? Because, you know... There's a guy there who needs somebody to clean that up. So there you go. That's your other bit of advice. Go and clean up someone else's shit.
Guys, beef solved.
I'm sorry, Bryn.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Okay, so we have a posh beef from Tilly via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. A great way to get in touch. Tilly says, hello, I have a posh beef I would like you to help me with.
Lovely. Finally, some class. We stopped talking about shit.
Some Wagyu beef.
Well, this is her next question. Rare, grass-fed. I don't know what posh beef is because I'm vegan. I don't that factors in, but well, let's find out. We moved.
I can tell you right now, Tilly, we don't like you.
Oh my god!
It started early. It started early from her room.
One sentence in.
It's great because this isn't my podcast, so I can just be me.
Yeah, but you do realise your name's still going to be on it. People are going to know it was you who said these things. We moved into a flat that has two bathrooms. Very fancy. It isn't split, it's one level. There's a bathroom off the living room and an ensuite off the bedroom. There is literally no need, and a storage cupboard would have been more useful, but fine. My beef is this. When we're in the flat, there is no way of going to the toilet without subliminally announcing what number you're doing by what bathroom you decide to use.
Of course.
For example, if me and my partner are in the living room, or one of us uses the ensuite, everyone knows they're shitting. And vice versa. At this rate, the ensuite is going to look like an absolute state in a few months. I like the way this is described as a posh beef. I mean, it kind of is, I suppose.
And I was like, oh, finally, we're getting off shitting. No.
How can I go to the toilet without announcing what I'm doing? Should I mix it up so nobody could ever tell? How can I stop one toilet becoming the shit toilet? Thanks so much, Tilly. Tilly the toilet girl. Right, well, what... Yes, go on, Clarky.
No, well, night time, right? Surely then the other toilet turns into the shitting toilet.
Yeah, if you're getting up
once
at night
you've gone to bed.
But then there's no guests in the house, so that doesn't matter, I think. I think she's saying when they have people over. Mm. Because we have a similar problem. We for the first time ever, we have two toilets now. We have, you know, where Perry is right now. We have it under the stairs toilet. Barry's in my house right now.
You've been shitting this entire time, Tom. Have you managed to do your length yet?
I'm dolphing it through my skin. It's really hard.
Yeah. You've got to kind of wrap toilet roll around you like a mummy as well, haven't you? That's what you're going to do. Just peel it off at the end.
We tell people because our under the stairs toilet is in our living room, basically. I mean, like, our couch shares a wall with the toilet.
Right.
So we're like, number twos are upstairs and number ones are downstairs. And I'll tell you what, a lot of people are just lying about shitting because they don't want me to know. So they're just doing shits in our downstairs toilet and pretending that they're peas. These people are not invited back to our house.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
I would not do that.
No, I would go as far go as far away as possible. If somebody had like an outside toilet, I'd be delighted.
What's the shame?
There is
I'm shitting, I'm going upstairs. Everybody shits, you know. Some of us once a fortnight.
Yeah. Which, as you know, is 30 to 40 times a month. Right?
Who's gonna be shocked by someone doing a shit? Yeah. As well, like, someone says I'm going to the toilet, you're not going to be like, oh my god, they did a shit. It's like, there are two things they could do in that toilet.
I wonder is there a courtesy element is there a courtesy element to it? Are they saying, look, I'm going to go to the furthest one away just in case there's any residual smell that comes out of the toilet? Surely that's the reason. It's not that you're 100%. Hiding that you're going for a shit, it's that you are doing
the problem is, but the issue is the knowledge, isn't it? That's the problem with the beef here, is people know what we're going to be doing because of the toilet we go to.
I see.
So it's not the motives.
All right, here's what you do. You just say that your main toilet is out of order when you have guests and they have to shit or pee, whatever it is, in the bedroom, so that no one has to reveal what they're doing, even though it's perfectly natural.
I know this way you don't
get any shits in your kitchen or whatever.
I know I got burned by this before, but I'm going to go back in and attempt the reverse. I don't think they're talking about guests.
Yeah.
Because in this, Tilly says, for example, if me and my partner are in the living room and one of us uses the ensuite, everyone knows they are shitting.
Oh, Tilly, break up with your boyfriend. How you can have a baby in front of him? Grow up. Get out of that.
You know babies don't come out of the arsehole, Janine. You really do have to read that book. You should read that book.
But then where do their shits come out then, Tom? Think about it.
There's no, what's the stigma here? You know, we all poo, we all shit, we all, you know, it's got to happen.
It has to happen. Yeah. It's part of the natural process. If you don't, just imagine how uncomfortable you'll be. You know, if you think it's uncomfortable, go on for your pleasure.
I got ribbed once for going and having a shit halfway through a Sunday dinner. We were having a Sunday dinner, and I said, I stopped halfway through and said, I'm just going to go to the loo. Went and had a shit, came back, and everyone was like astounded that I'd stopped having my Sunday dinner to go and have a shit.
Yeah. But what's wrong with that? You're eating, exactly. Clearing a bit of space. You know, there's nothing wrong. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's fine. But I think it's, you know, maybe they're not posh. Maybe they're just very immature. If you think you're going to come back and your partner is going to go, ha ha, you just did a shit, then that's a mad.
Then you don't deserve two bathrooms.
To be fair, that is what we do every time one of us goes to the toilet. We start sending each other like gifts of poo gifts. What?
Yeah, but that is
take the piss out of each
that's
other
a contract you've entered into. That's not, it's not bullying, is it? That's
you, no.
That's a shared joke. That's a different
thing.
Yeah. It's not, you know, that's not you shitting in fear, hoping you're not going to get, you know,
I don't get caught.
Exactly. Yeah. To get suddenly the phone buzzes and you're like, oh no, not another mean gif. You know, that's.
That's, you know, Janine, is your solution they should have one of their, they should be stripped of one of their toilets?
They don't deserve two toilets. They obviously can't handle it, you know. It takes a lot. As someone with two toilets myself, I must say. You got to be able to fart in front of your partner. You have to be able to tell them that you're shitting. I have held Andrew's hand as I shit. I'm not going to lie to you, all right? It was hilarious, and I stand by it.
Oh, you're standing up as well. That's really impressive. Holding his hand and standing up.
Stand by it afterwards for the photo.
When Andrew proposed to me, I wanted to do, you know, like a post. about the proposal or whatever, and I took all these pictures of just our toilet for whatever reason just does not properly flush. So like if you flush it and walk away, there'll be a floater. Oh. And Andrew is always on his phone, so he's never looking behind him to see like, did I complete this transaction? And so I did all these engagement photos just with holding the ring up, and the toilet is just blurred out in the background with just a little floaty poop of Andrew's. Like living the dream. Like, wow, I feel like a princess. He wouldn't let me post them.
That's really funny. right, well, what are we saying then? Board up one of the loos?
Or turn it into a plant pot?
Yeah, unplumb the toilet, fill it up with soil, plant a plant in it, and then turn it into the storage cupboard that you so clearly desire, Tilly. You said
someone did that at a house party at my parents once. We had a house party, and they took a massive plant out of a plant pot.
I thought you meant one of your parents' mates did it.
No.
We think it was one of your brother's friends.
Yeah, I think it was one of my brother's friends. He kind of wasn't really invited, and kind of
he went too far.
He shit in a plant pot.
No, just put the entire plant into the toilet. And then someone else came along to sit in the plant pot. Into the toilet.
It's like the inverse. Yeah. It sounds quite poetic, actually, compared to shit in the plant pot. It was me. I did not.
I know a guy in high school so I went to an all-girls high school, and then our brother's school was an all-boys school, and they were just crazy. And I know this one boy who, he was away on like a debate team, whatever, competition, and he pooped into a tissue in the bathroom and then put it up inside where the toilet paper comes from, so that when someone went to just get the toilet paper, they would just be shitted on. Yeah,
that is not good stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
That's horrifying.
Yeah, he was an amazing debater.
Well, with tactics like that, who's going to argue against him?
He would not lose.
are we beef solved on that? Lose the toilet and just face up to the realities of shitting in your relationship?
I honestly think you should just have a conversation with your partner about.
Oh, now we're all about conversations.
Take up juggling. Learn a magic trick.
So juggle your shit from one loo to the other.
No, what you do is you shit into a top hat, and then if they go, "Did you just shit into that top hat?" You go, "No, actually, it's Doves," and then release the Doves out of it, and that'll help. Your thoughts, guys? So definitely silence afterwards, just staring.
I thought my screen had frozen.
I thought everybody had frozen there because Tom is looking just horrified, not appreciative of that at all. He's tough nut to crack tonight, but that's okay.
Oh, well, Crosby, that's okay. What it feels like when Dubs cry.
Yeah.
Tom looks intimidating, but when you take into account that he's just been doing a shit this whole time, he's really just concentrating. He's so unamused.
Beef from a sorting out your beef solved.
I don't even think this is a beef. Like, I have a beef that this is a beef in my house.
Okay.
My husband can't stand that I eat ingredients rather than, like, use them to create a meal. So, like, I'll eat grated cheese just out of the bag. You know, I'll just eat a bunch of that, and then I'll have some just, like, smoked salmon just out of the packet, and that'll be, you know, breakfast. Right. Salmon, as opposed
to cheesy salmon. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like if I'd made like an omelet, he gets upset that I'm eating these ingredients. But in my mind, I'm like, what's the difference to you if I mix it on a plate and make something, or if I mix it in my stomach and make something? But he gets very, very mad if he goes to use the cheese and there's no cheese left.
Right. Well,
he wouldn't be that mad if I was using it to make a grilled cheese sandwich.
If you'd made a cheese on toast, yeah.
That's really interesting because I guess like however you want to eat is how you want to eat, and if you want to graze, that's totally fine. Like,
I'm a grazer.
I think when I initially heard you say like, oh, I might eat a bit of grated cheese, I thought you were then going to like eat every component part of like a lasagna.
Yeah, that's what I was like.
I was like a deconstructed.
I'll eat dry cinnamon, but that's regular. No.
Yeah, sure, for the challenge, of course.
For the challenge, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what's the. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't even think that is a problem.
Is it more a longing for communal eating?
I think it's because he's like, what are you going to not ever make food for our children? And I'm like yeah,
I
no.
think that might be. I'm going to carry them for 2 years. I'm not going to cook for them.
Is it babies out of my asshole? I'm not fucking cooking.
To be fair, if you do that, you shouldn't have to.
Is it like an unconscious desire to eat together, for you to cook? Do you cook together often? Do you sit and eat? You know, like, he's having this soup late at night. You're shoveling cheese in your mouth.
You know what? When do you get to sit down? You're right. We both gig, so that is hard. And yeah. I think you really solved it, actually.
You got the whistle there.
I'm like, oh, that's what he hasn't been able to tell me. No, he can tell me that he's going for a shit, but he can't tell me he wants to have a nice family dinner.
Maybe you need to sort of agree on a night a week where you don't have gigs and sit down together or cook together. You can also as well, while you're doing it, you can be eating the ingredients while you're cooking. One of the great pleasures of cooking for other people is you often end up stuffed by the time you serve the food. You've already eaten a lot of food.
Guys, like, aside from the podcast, if I just have any problems in my relationship, can I just call you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bear in mind, you have to say something nice about our Patreon first. That's the only requirement. As long as you say one
you
nice thing.
You guys are the best sound emitters I've ever heard. My human ears.
Thank you. We will clean up your snake shit anytime. But no rebooking. No rebooking. It's not going to happen. Yeah, I think that's it. Just have a lovely meal night.
I think that's really nice. Yeah. Like a Sunday. A Sunday is just a family dinner.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. There you go.
Beef solved.
Beef solved. Cooked and eaten together.
Lovely. So, Janine, thank you so much for coming on the pod. It's been a real pleasure.
Hey, you know what? You're welcome.
Oh, thanks very much.
It took a lot for me to be here, but for you guys,
it really did.
I would do it for the fee that you're paying me.
It really did.
It was a total pleasure. Have you got anything you want to plug? Where can our listeners see you gig soon? Or you're an amazing stand-up?
Well, on the 5th of November, if you happen to be a subscriber to Amazon Prime, or if you're interested in starting a subscription, you can see my special. My 1 hour long stand-up special, which actually features Ben in the audience. He's made the cut.
Whoa.
Have I? You see him laughing in one of the scenes.
Yes. I was going to say, I was there. It was absolutely fantastic. So please do.
There were so many shots of you laughing. It was great.
Was he the only one laughing?
Yeah. He's the only one there.
He's like, around just stony faces and Clarky dying. Oh.
The show is just me performing to Ben. Just me and him. And I just maintain eye contact for the full hour.
I love it.
It's called Stand Up with Janine Haroni. Please remain seated. Amazon Prime, November 5th. Check it out. Just got recommended in the New York Times. So there you go.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Congratulations.
International.
I mean, you're
amazing.
That's where you're from. You've gone international. You're being recommended by the place you're from.
It's an hour long show where I just talk about just different places it's okay to shit.
Great.
You know?
Yeah.
That's going to really appeal.
And then it's why it really chimes with me. That's why I loved it.
You were on the toilet all the way through.
The other thing that people can see you in on ITV Player is Buffering, which I finished recently and I absolutely loved. I thought it was so brilliant. I really, really enjoyed it.
And, yes, written by Steve Bougea. Did I say that right?
Yeah,
friend of the show.
And Ian Sterling, who I think you've had both of them as guests before.
Yeah, we have. And if you've not heard of Buffering, it's a podcast featuring Ian Sterling. And if you haven't heard of it, it's a sitcom. Sorry,
I don't think you did watch it.
it's a brilliant show. It's a sitcom, and it's like properly like I was saying this to Clark. It's like a brilliant ensemble. It is like it's laugh out loud funny, like sort of like a friend style ensemble. But it's got a really genuinely dramatic sort of plot running through it. It's great. It's really, really good. I loved it.
He said the exact opposite to me, weirdly, but no. is it on the ITV Hub?
On the Hub.
Get it on the Hub, man. Get it on the Hub. Beef Brothers sorting out your beef. Don't forget, beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com, or as Pierre Novelli might put it,
send us your beefs, you whining fucks.
Well, 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 what an episode. And Tom, could you just briefly summarise that episode?
So basically,
for us?
It's like three friends who live together, but we don't really live together. We're kind of pretending we live together. We have previously lived together, but now we just do it over Zoom. Oh, God, do they not want a drink?
If you enjoyed Janine, by the way, and why wouldn't you? You can join the Patreon and get a bonus beef recorded with Janine over on our Patreon, which should be dropping, I think, tomorrow. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out, it should be out tomorrow. A bonus beef with Janine, which was very good fun to record. Also, as well, I'll recommend again, which I've done before on the podcast, I recommend Buffering. She's in the sitcom Buffering, Ian Sterling and Steve Pagea's sitcom. Both friends of the show, and Janine's friend of the show as well.
Well, so, Steve Pagea, I mean, the friend of the show. If anything.
Parry's best friend that he only ever talks to on the podcast.
Our best guest of all time, Steve Pagea.
You love him,
Pagea,
don't you? He's great. Well,
he just nailed it. Just came in, stepped up to the plate. It was effortless. You know what I mean? It was like a warm bath.
I got the feeling during this episode, you were enjoying working with Janine, but you were thinking, well, you're not Steve, are you?
Everyone's in the shadow of the Booge these days. It's kind of, you know, I pity any guest who comes on post-Booge. You know, that's
I mean,
the era we're in now.
Yeah, we have to deal with it. He's
long
gone.
You know,
me
and Crosby, just, we can see it now when we talk to you. Just in your eyes, you're just like, I wish I was talking to Booge right now.
That was the problem with you describing Pappy's Flatshare to your mate. You started with, how do you feel about the Booge?
Yeah, I mean, so
he's on one episode.
It's this podcast about Steve Pagea. It's Steve Pagea's podcast, and for 10 years it was like a build-up, much like God, a build-up to Pagea arriving, and then it's dealing with the fact that Booge was once a guest.
We got to get him back.
Well, he was only on about 4 episodes ago.
Yeah, but we just miss him so much.
It feels like he's been gone a lifetime, doesn't
it? Yeah,
I think he's been on more episodes recently than Parry has. speaking of Parry, we got in a message, a little point of order. Via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. Was going to put this. This is from Cy, and they write, was going to put this as for the attention of Tom, but since he never reads the emails, it seemed pointless. Can someone tell Tom that he's a millennial?
What?
he keeps using it to refer to the youth of today, but the word probably describes the majority of Pappy's listeners and all of the actual members of Pappy's. Tom, the word you're looking for is Zoomers or Gen Z. Cheers, everyone. Bye. Cheers, everyone. Sigh. There we go.
Zoomers.
Apparently Zoomers, yeah.
Whoa!
I learned a new phrase this morning, which is Xennial.
What's a Xennial?
Xennials. It's a portmanteau blending Generation X and Millennials to describe the micro generation of people born between, like, the ones who can remember pre being online and then going into online.
Yeah, it's like analog and digital combined. So I think that is us.
That's us.
Actually,
isn't it?
Yeah. I think we might actually be Xennials.
So we're Xennial in name, but Boomer in attitude,
and Millennial on our birth certificates.
And Zoomer in knowledge.
So if we again, we've got another. Another dimension in order to describe ourselves that is more confusing than anything else.
I mean,
we're just three Xennials who are pretending to be boomers who host a game show. What? God. You've reached the end of the line. Okay, well, well, thank you for listening. What a lovely way to spend time in your ear canal, as ever. We'll be back next week or earlier on in the week if you're a Patreon subscriber. Oh, I'm confusing myself
again. You really are. I think the word you're looking for is goodbye, everybody.
And don't forget to Google us.
Today's episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everybody, and bye.
Send.
Please
be upstanding
for
the neighbourhood.
Patreon.
Watch. Roll call.
First
person
is
Jamie.
Well,
that's
about
time
to
carry
on
with
the
neighborhood.
What? Cool.
So,
the
next
person
is
Will
Carr.
Kinetic
sculpture.
There.
What?
The
next
person
might
be
a
kind
friend
Orle
Whelan.
And
right
now
we
feeling
fine.
Next
person
is
Mark
Goldspink. Makes
me
think.
Doesn't
it?
Next
person
is
Rob
Wag.
Don't
you
nag
me.
Next
person
is
Adri
M.
Finally.
Next
person
feeling
good.
Oh, it's
Remy
Jardine. Feeling fine.
That concludes
this
week's
Patreon
neighborhood.
Hood. What?
Roll.
Next.
Score.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.